Okay, we're finishing up Perek Chaf. We're on page Resh Yud Dalid. Just the last little section here before we're going to begin chapter 21. And discussing how to develop love that depends on something else. Ava Pliya V'Dover. It depends on how much we give up bailus, how much we give up ownership of all the physical things in this world and everything in this world. To that degree that we give it up, we're able to appreciate what Hashem is giving to us. And we look at the world as a disposable world. And therefore we have three steps. To number one, recognize that everything is from Hashem, is to directly say that to Hashem and to pray to Hashem. We can recognize this. And as long as a person has not internalized this message, and to what degree he believes he still is the owner of what he has, to that degree he will not be able to appreciate what Hashem gives him. So now he closes off with one important idea. Top of Reish Yud Dalet. Show me manu lepamim sipurim nifloim al hashgacha pratis. Sometimes we hear amazing stories of divine supervision. Incredible stories that are put up in the newspaper every week, in the Jewish newspaper that has a section on hashgacha pratis. You know, unbelievable story. Even I will say these stories from time to time. So, ma'asim elam utfasim la'saras l'meas, these stories are printed by the tens and hundreds. What is the value of hearing these kinds of stories? So he says, mishu ksas pnimi, anyone who is a bit of an inner nature, who's a deeper thinker and is trying to come closer to Hashem, kashla lishmas is parmalo, it's really very difficult to hear these stories and to hear what the authors of these stories are trying to affect. Why? Gihem moridim etzlo es erech hahisyachsus l'chaya yom yom. Because these stories, not intentionally, but they are lowering the value of God's daily relationship with us on a daily basis. If anything, it could diminish our belief in Hashem when you hear these stories. How could it diminish it? Only Hashem could do this. But here's the point for the deeper thinker. For the not deeper thinker, there's a good use for these stories. If there's people who don't believe that God does anything in this world, so a story like that from time to time will show people that, see, there is a God in this world. What are you telling me? There's no God? The story I said last Shabbos in Shul was an incredible story. Like, it's an incredible story with the pendant. It was unbelievable. You have to know there's a Hashem from that. And of course, you know, and that's who those stories are more designed for, people who don't really think a lot about Hashem being in your life at all. But somebody who's working on this program over here, hearing these amazing stories, is a great downside to it. What is it? B'makom lahargish baboker, kishadam kam, shakodesh baruch hu amamido so'ala raglayim, etc., etc. So when you hear these stories, instead of feeling in the morning that when you get up, Hashem is the one to put you on your feet, and Hashem takes care of this little thing and that little thing and every little thing in this world, to the point that you can see that I am in control of nothing. So instead of that, which is the way you're supposed to be looking at things, if you're just looking forward to the Friday edition in the paper that gives you the story of the week of Hashgacha Pratis, it comes out, Huroes Bori Olam Rak Bashkocha Pratis Miucheda Shabo Umofiach Asakamashonim. A person only sees Hashem only when these amazing stories happen. And they come once every couple of years. In other words, when you have one of these amazing Hashkocha Pratis stories, you know, and you know, like on Shabbos, that the woman who two of her husbands got blown up, got killed, and then in the middle of doing surgery on this kid, she finds her father she hadn't seen in 60 years since the Holocaust. Whoa, there's a God in this world. But when I get dressed in the morning, there isn't. When I go through my whole day, there isn't. And there isn't God in my whole life. Once every couple of years is an amazing story that happens to me. And that's it. So it minimizes, when you accentuate the exceptional stories, it minimizes the deeper understanding that is meant to happen every single second of the day. And you should be just as amazed by the fact you got out of bed today is no less amazing than you survived a head-on collision and walked right out. There's nothing any less amazing. It just doesn't appear to have the same glitz. And therefore, it doesn't take a lot to be blown away by an amazing story, but it takes a lot of work to be blown away by the simple supervision that God does on a daily basis. And if anything, it's even more because Hashem is doing it every single day, every single moment. And these amazing things are just a little flash in the night. So that's the. Now I'm not saying you shouldn't read them. I mean, if you're already learning this book, you shouldn't be reading the storybooks about amazing things. It does nothing for you. If anything, it will take away from what you have. The only reason I read them is because I have to give drushes. So. And most of the Olam is not holding in this place, and they have to hear a story like this from time to time, because otherwise they wouldn't think of Hashem at all. The whole week they don't think of Hashem, a lot of people. So at least on Shabbos they'll think of Hashem. Okay. But for our Chevra, it's not, you don't need to read small miracle books and things like that. It's totally a waste of your time, because it's diminishing what you're working on. Right, so he's saying, certainly a person who's very far away from Emunah. So Sipuri Hashkacha, Elohim Hashalav Rishon Shal Yadahu Nichnas Yolam Shal Hashkacha. So those stories of divine supervision is the first step to get a person into the game of seeing that God supervised the world. Avolkan Olov Latzor Es Mahalach HaChaim L'Kabum Avarech Elohim. But now for us, our Chevra, we have to stop and develop a stop the way we're living now and develop a new look. So the newspapers that are geared for the Haredi people should be having a weekly column on Bilvavi, not on Hashgacha Pratis. Right? In Canadian Jewish news it passes to have stories like that. Right? But not in other very frum papers. It doesn't fit into that that genre of people who are reading it, supposedly. Seeing God in exceptional cases, right? Only in those cases. Zohi zilus amitis banhaga sabori. This is a cheapening of the true supervision of God in this world. It cheapens our understanding. Hatsura amitis shalom lichasi. The true picture that a person should live with is just like in the same measure that we do sense when Hashem does something quite miraculous and unusual, we sense Him. So we have to feel that every single boring day. And there won't be boring days. Every moment, God is directing our lives. This is not an idea of hispilus. Well, you get blown away, you get impressed. So Tzuras Chaim Pshuta, this is a simple, regular lifestyle. Through a person truly recognizing that absolutely everything belongs to God, will merit to get close to Him, and will eventually reach the lower level of love that depends on something. Okay, that's the end of chapter Chaf. We move now to chapter Chaf Aleph, which he now is going to take one deeper step into this Ava Tluya Bedover before the next chapter, where he begins to get the Ava Sheina Tluya Bedover, which is really, we're far away from. But let's try to still work on this lower one. Okay. The next topic, the next chapter is called, we're on page Resh Tesvav, Avas Hashem Yisparach La'odom, V'Avas Ha'odom Hashem Yisparach. The love that Hashem has for us, and the love that we can have for Hashem. Subcategory is called, Hakorah V'Avas Hashem Osonu Mevi'a Lavaso. The recognition that Hashem loves us brings us to loving Him. So quickly reviewing, Asaknu Perek HaKodem Binyan Avas Hashem B'Madrega Savat Luy V'Dover. We engaged in the last chapter in the aspect of loving Hashem, or a love that depends on something. And Akuna Rishonu Shkarnohi, the first point we mentioned is, Shereshi Sarach Adam Lahakar Mehecha Nagia Elov Koma Shieshlov Akorasu. Okay. Person has to first recognize where does everything he have come from. And that, Vakorazu Mukhlekas, Mukhlekas Lashne Ponim. And that recognition is divided into two parts. Lishlila Chuyav, the negative and the positive. Aleph, Hakol Lo Ba Mimenu. First of all, everything did not come from you. Not your strength and not your might provided any of what you got in life. And number one, no, it's not you. And number two, Hakome is Hashem, everything is from Hashem. Okay, that was what was the last parak, basically. We don't own anything. He owns everything. So now, so what does it mean, a love that depends on something? Let's get to a basic definition of a love that depends on something. So yidei sha'odam mekabel mechavero pa'am ve'od pa'am ve'od pa'am hanosed v'makabel miskash. That through a person receiving from his friend once and again and again and again and again, you keep getting from somebody. So the giver and the receiver develop a relationship, a connection. Klomer, meaning to say, lo rak sha'achefetz mitzad atzmo mekasher bein hanosed l'makabel, k'mo sh'amar chazal. Not only is the object in and of itself that which connects the giver and the receiver, as our rabbis tell us, Kemo Shomer Chazal, Shekein Derech HaNosein Matana Lios Nosein Ba'ayin Yofa, because generally the rabbis say when a person gives a gift, he usually gives it with a good eye. Generally speaking, when you're giving a good gift, you're going to give it with a good heart and you want it to be a nice gift and you're giving of yourself, and obviously the receiver will recognize that. And that usually is a way of feeling closeness. But, and here's the point he's gonna make. Ela hiskashrus mitzad sibas hanesina. Shekesharuve nosen l'shimam pam achar pam. But when this relationship that comes as a cause of the giving, when Ruven gives to Shimon time after time, now here's the point. In the beginning, it's like you get this gift and you say, oh, this gift is, I like this. I like this, so I like you. You keep giving me these gifts, so I like you more. But what is driving me liking the other person? It's the gifts. It's the gifts. It's the gifts that's making me like you. And it's, I need a tape recorder. Oh. Like, you got me one. Oh, that's going to be, it's going to make my life so much easier. So the gift makes my life easier. You gave me the gift. So you're responsible for this gift making my life easier. Therefore, I like you more. And you give me this, and you give me that, and you give me that. And these are the things that I like. Because if you give me things I don't like, right? If on my birthday, you give me something that you like and I don't like, then I don't like you anymore from the gift. Because I don't like the gift. So why should I like you? Right? But if I like the gift, and the general understanding is when people give, more often than not, they give what the receiver likes to get, not what the giver likes to give, right? If it's the spare fruit platter, you know, that you're trying to get rid of, and you dump it on somebody, and it's their 25th fruit platter they have, they're not going to like you anymore for that gift, right? It depends. The gift is the critical aspect of what the love will depend on. So now, let's say you're getting these nice gifts that you really like. So hopefully it's going to develop to the next stage, which is Shimon Margish Shesibas Hanesina Hi Machme Sheruven Oyevasa. Shimon, hopefully after a few times, will feel that the reason Ruven is giving me the gift is because Ruven likes me. Why is he giving me this? Why is he spending so much money to give me this gift? I assume he keeps giving because he wants to show me how much he likes me. Oh, Ruvain likes me. Umemela, and consequently, Dovrzem Ma'orer Benefesh Sholo Aso Esa Avel Ruvain. And now Shimon, as Shimon perceives that Ruvain likes him, then he's going to like Ruvain. So it's getting beyond the gift right now. The gift now really is the means to reveal the love that the giver has for the receiver. And when the receiver senses that the giver loves him, then he will love the giver. Because we always love people who love us. How do I know you love me? Because you give me all these things. Right? That's on a simple way of understanding. That's always the problem with, you know, shidduchim. You know, the guy goes out with the girl goes out with the guy, they're going out 7 or 8 times, and everyone's afraid to express their love. They think it's love. Is it love? I'm not sure. I like the person. They're afraid to say they like the other person because they don't know if the other person really likes them. And that's why the good shadchan knows which one of the two to push to tell them, okay, you're going to have to be the one to say you really like the other person. And that's a dangerous thing, because what if the person says, yeah, well, I really don't like you. Well, they don't say it that way, but it's just, well, yeah, I was thinking of, you know, the classic is where the guy, it's usually what happens with the guy, right? The guy goes out on the limb and says, I like you. And then the next week, the girl says, oh, let's forget it. Crush the guy, you know. But on the good side, is, you know, when one person says, you know, I really like you, you know, if you would ask me to marry you, I would probably say yes. You know, then all of a sudden the guy's going to really start to like the girl, or the vice versa, whatever, because, oh, she said she likes me, so now I like her. Because you're afraid to really like somebody because you're afraid you're going to get hurt. So why should I risk my emotions on somebody who may not care less about me? So that's why there has to be somebody, when it gets to that stage, this is where the good shadchan knows this time. I've seen this many times where, you know, I don't know. Just say you really like him. I don't know if it's, but come on, you know you like him. Just. And you need that first, somebody's got to say it, even if they're not 100% sure, but it's, and then all of a sudden, if you say you like them, the other person says they like you back, then you like them more, and they like you back, and then it spirals up. Right? So that's how it works. So that's the same thing with the gift giving over here. It's that, well, yes, that makes sense. Right? I mean, you know, you like people who like you. You know, the only question is, you know, our Yeshua says, I don't know if they really like me. I don't know if they really, I think they just like what I do for them, but they don't really like me. Right? That's where the Yetzer Hara works a little bit. And in this kind of a world that we live in, yeah, there's a lot of people who give you gifts not because they like you. That's the problem. Yeah, you know, the boss gives you a nice gift this time of year because he knows if he gives you a good gift, you're going to work your tail off for him the whole year, and he really couldn't care less about you. Guys, you have to give. It's this time of year, you have to give something. You know, it's like, you know, you're a teacher and you're getting a lot of gifts. You know, you don't know if they really the parents like you. They just want to make sure you be nice to their kids. You know, and you could, a lot of times you could tell by the kind of gift it is. You know, if it's like something you totally don't need, it's like reshuffled gifts and things like that. It's like, but sometimes, you know, so the difference is, but what if they write you a real heartwarming letter? I still have a couple letters, like from 20, 23 years ago, where they really write a nice, you probably hope that they meant it, you know, when they wrote. Because if they didn't mean it, they wouldn't write a whole page.
I think it's more the time that they have to even in gift buying.
It could be.
You want, and they go out of their way to get
something. Yeah, yeah. So again, so right. It's you know, as they say, right. It's the thought that counts, right? That's what they say. But so nowadays we live in such a false world. We doubt so many things that we see. It's hard for us to accept that the person really did it because they like me, or because they're trying to use me, trying to, you know, boy meets girl, boy thinks he likes girl, boy wants the girl, boy knows if he gives gifts, he'll get the girl, but he really just wants what the girl can provide for him, but really doesn't like the girl herself, and that the girl falls for this, and then says we should get married, and the boy says, I wasn't thinking of that, but what about all the gifts you were giving me, etc., etc., you know, that, and that we're living that world, unfortunately. So, therefore, it's hard, this idea to come across, but this is the simple idea, that although in the beginning you like the person because you like the gifts, but then you start to feel, but if the guy's giving me these gifts, he probably likes me, and if he likes me, then I like him. That's the deeper level we're trying to hit over here. Yes, sir?
Are we talking about conditioning?
Yes, we're still it's all conditional now. Okay, I'm not going to get into this in liking and loving. You know.
Well, for example, if someone gives you gifts over a period of time, with a chazaka that this person likes you, and then even if they don't give you gifts for a while, you still have a good feeling because of something they did for you 10, 15 years ago.
Okay, he's going to talk about this. It may not last that long. You know. What have you done for me lately, friend? You know, it can't give a guy like 10 gifts,
on a love level, I can see
10 gifts friend. Over 1 year of time and then not give a gift for 30 years.
But a friendship is different than let's say a marriage.
A friendship is different than a marriage.
In a friendship,
the expectation is different.
The expectations are different. Like what Rafael is saying, the difference between liking and loving. If you buy your wife a gift 20 years ago and that was it, it's very different than if you, let's say, purchase for a friend, you give them a gift, you know, initially in the beginning of the friendship. A friendship doesn't need that to sustain it.
I don't know about that. No. If you give the guy a gift 20 years ago and now, you know, there's different kinds of gifts. There's the gift that you touch and feel and the gift of time.
I'm talking about material gifts.
But whatever it is, there has to be some kind of giving. If there's no giving at all, if the giving stops on every level, the friendship can't continue.
No, that's true.
You know, you've had childhood friendships and then you move away from each other, you never see each other, you don't keep up in touch, the friendship will die. Even the keeping up in touch is you're giving something. Somebody's picking up the phone and calling, he's giving his time.
No, but I thought he's talking about material.
We're looking at a simple level. Obviously, there's deeper levels to this. But on a simple level, friendships have to start, and it could take a long time. That it's just, if I don't get anything from you, you know, I don't feel the love. You know, again, the same thing in any relationship. You don't necessarily have to give a gift after a while, but you have to give something. If you know, it's as simple as the husband comes home from work, he sits down to the wife and says, "Dear, we haven't spoken in a while. Let's sit down and let's go for a walk and talk." Right? And the husband's a busy guy. So the wife realizes he's giving me his time. He's giving me his time. Which, you know, as a lawyer, getting $500 an hour, that means he's giving me $500 worth of time. But that's... Because, you know, that's the way he looks at things. You know,
he came home early.
I came home early because I want to be with you. So he's not giving you anything that's tangible, but he's giving you his time. And that's really probably the most important gift you can give someone. After a while, come on, like, I couldn't care less what my wife gives me anymore. It's like, I don't need anything. What's she going to give me? Another silly thing? You know, another cute card? Like, you know, what, another gadget? Like, you don't need it. You know, when you're little kids, there's always these gifts you haven't had. Another present. Oh, that's going to be fun. You get to be our age, and if you have half a brain, you don't want anything anymore. You really don't, you know. And the kids say, "Well, what are we going to get you for your birthday?" So I say, "Don't get me anything. Just be good. Just be good, because that'll be the biggest gift, because that's the hardest thing for you to do. Just be good." I don't have any gifts. I can't stand it, you know. They make these huge, cute cards and this with pictures and this and that. Because they're giving their time, you know, and they figured out. I said, "I don't need you to make me a silly card." I don't say it like that, but I said, "I don't need your silly card." You know, you want to give me a gift. You know, you call me. They call me every Friday, so that's the gift. You know, they call me, they talk to me, and that's the gift. And if I say something and you listen to me, that's a gift. That's a gift. I don't need the toys anymore. That this whole idea of the birthday and the presents and the this and the that, it gets to a point where it's useless, and it really doesn't do much. I bring flowers on my wife. It's like nothing. So I don't give her flowers anymore. You know, I know she wants my time. That's what I have to give her. That's the most precious commodity. Two busy people is got to sit down and give the time. That she wants more than anything else. The other thing is that, I mean, the flowers, like, no reaction. Like, it's like nothing. So obviously that it isn't what she's looking for. And yeah, she'll see it's nice, but it's not like, why didn't you? She couldn't care less about the flowers. So that ain't going to work. She got. She'd rather have me fix something in a house. You know, it's a crazy. You know, yes, there's something broken. Now, for that, she will love me so much more than for any flowers I can get her. You know, because for her, she likes the house to look in order. She has, like, you know how it is. You know how it is with women, right? That they want it this way, and then next week they want it the other way. You just did it this way, but we just did it this way. Yeah, but it really isn't so good. Do it that way. So the husband says, husband wants to say, are you crazy? What's the difference if it's here, it's there? But you don't say that. You know, if that's what she wants, that's what she wants, and finish. Right? You do it. So, you know, like if I had my, if this is broken, switch the light socket, and this week was the toilet seat, you know, it says fix the toilet seat. I said, I'll get around to it. You know, it's not exactly, you know, I have classes to prepare. Then what happened was interesting. Menachem, he fixed the toilet seat, didn't tell anybody. So my wife comes, and you can already see, oh, yes, you fixed the toilet, like so, like that was like, so. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't. You know, so like, so I fixed the toilet seat. You really love me because you fixed the toilet seat. Because the wife feels the house being in order is, you know, the way it should be, and they don't know how to fix toilet seats, right? So if the husband fixes the toilet seat, oh, you score the points. Okay, so what do I do for a birthday? I'll buy a new toilet seat and fix the toilet seat, and she'll be happy that I'll look for something that's broken in the house, and I'll fix it. And she'll be happy because that's what she wants. You know, what are you doing? What are you giving me to show that? Every woman is different. A husband has to learn what his wife really wants. Right? So that's going to be the gift. So over time, it's not the tangible things anymore. Right? They want the gift of respect. The wife wants, or the husband, that although she has a boneheaded idea, you should respect it, and you should take it seriously, and you should act in it, and through it, and suffer through it, but go through it, but don't make it seem like you're annoyed by it, and this and that. But sincerely, if that's what you want here, that's what we're going to do, and you waste a number of hours, but she loves you for that. And it's not a waste, that's what she wants. You could go in the store for 2 hours and look for a gift, and come up with the right gift. You know, when you're younger, you try to do those things, right? But then after a while, it's like, you know, it's do you do what I want you to do? At the end of the day, that's what they want. You know, they want the gift of respect, right? They say something, you don't argue with them all the time, right? That's the gift. So that's giving of you, and that's how it shows the love. So that it's still all love that depends on something. Just stop doing those things for a couple years and see what happens. See what happens. It can't sustain itself. Okay. Zoe, bottom paragraph. Zoe, avat tluya b'dover. This is love that depends on something. And you should know, this is a big mila. Even though we tend to say, that's such a low level of love. Halavai, we'd all be on that level. Halavai, most marriages would be on that level. That you love each other just for what you do for each other. Right? Because you can't get to the next level till you really have this level. So this is a love that depends on something. Chloramine to say, Ava tluya b'nesina sheruvein nosein. It's a love that depends on Ruvein giving. Im yiten lo b'meshach shavua shvayim chodesh. Let's say you give for a week, a couple weeks, a month. You keep giving. Ulachem again, and afterwards, b'meshach kama shana yafsik. For a number of years, you stop. Just don't give. And that happens in marriages. It gets a point where you really stop giving. You don't realize it. It can just happen. You just stopped giving. I mean, you give a birthday present, but it's not necessary anymore, right? And the things they really want, you're not giving. So in effect, you stopped giving. So anyway, since the whole reason of the love came from the power of the giving, so heder hanesina, the absence of the giving, reishis machlish es mashikiyam, it begins to weaken that which was existing until that point. Va'odioser, and more than that, etzem heder hanesina lepamim yotzer sargasha shim hu lo nosein simen shu kfar lo ohev. The absence of the giving sometimes will create a feeling that if he's not giving, it's a sign that he does not love. And it goes to the other way. So you're giving. Oh, the person must love me because he's giving. So I love him because he loves me. And then you stop giving. And that positive feeling of he loves me, I love him, stops, and then you start thinking, he's not giving me, he probably doesn't love me, and therefore I probably don't love him. And that's what happens with marriages that are going on automatic pilot. The ones that are going on automatic pilot, you know, the husband doesn't fix anything in the house, and the wife gets annoyed, and it's not no longer, you know, oh, does he love me? He doesn't love me. So, and you know, if people don't feel loved, they will definitely let you know about that, and you will not feel loved back by them as well. So the point he's saying, it's not the gift per se in the beginning for the little child, it's the gift, because the gift is of value. And therefore I love you because of the gift. But the deeper person knows, no, you love me. That's why you gave me the gift, and therefore I love you. That's because I know you love me, that's why I love you. And that's a deeper love that depends on something else. Okay, now, Ava She'ena Tluya B'Davar, a love that doesn't depend on anything, you see, which we don't know what that is yet, because that's in the next chapter. We haven't got to that definition yet. But if it truly does, if the love's at a stage where it doesn't matter, I don't need to get anything from that person, and will always love that person, then any chalis batel, then that can never cease. Kizu ava atzvis, this is an essential love, she'en lo shum bitui maisi, it has no physical expression. Again, it's a mystery, we don't know what this is yet, but you just have to take the tzaddik's word for it, Chazal's word for it. But in contradistinction to that, the avod the tluy b'davar, the love that depends on something, kishenim sekas and asinim, when the giving stops, reishi sasiba lechidush ha'ava, the beginning of the reason to this renewing of the love, the creation of the love, that effect in the avedus is lost. V'shenis in second, gama ava hakayemes holechas v'nechleshes, that love that was there slowly gets weaker and weaker and weaker. Okay, so that's the reality. That's how love depends on something really is the dynamics. It's perceiving the love of the giver, and that's why he's giving. And when that stops, the giving stops, I perceive the love has stopped, and then I don't love. So now, we have to bring it to God now. Kishadam writes, a leakness b'emeses madrigas avas Hashem atuli b'dover. If you really want to reach the level of this first stage level of loving God, the type of love that depends on something, you have to reflect, contemplate on the actual giving of what Hashem gives you. But don't only contemplate on what you get from Hashem. But through the giving, it should be revealed who's standing behind the gift. Ulahargish klapov regesh labov, and to feel a love towards that one. In which we have to feel, why is Hashem giving to me? He's giving to me because he loves me. And because I now know that Hashem loves me, of course I will love the one who loves me. We gotta get more mature. It's not like Hashem gave me this. Oh, I like this. So since I like this, I like him. The deeper level is, who gave it to me, and his giving means he loves me, and therefore I know he loves me because he gave me the gift, and therefore I respond by loving him. Now, obviously you're going to see with Hashem it works better than with people, right? Because when does Hashem ever stop giving? You see, with people, this is a dangerous type of love, because people by nature could tend to stop giving. But does Hashem ever stop giving? You see, that's why this will work, the love that depends on something, because Hashem will never stop giving. Mashal Ma'adavar, what can we dig this an analogy to? Adam nimtsa be'ir ve'ein lo ma'alishto. So a person's in a city, has nothing to drink. Over shom Yehudi, imkad shom ma'im v'nos alishto. So a Jew comes by with a pitcher of water and gives him a drink. Vade shalom makabel yeshna karas atov v'nosi. Certainly if the receiver is any kind of a mensch, he will have gratitude to the guy who gave him a drink. It was a hot day. Can you give me a glass of water? The guy comes over, gives him a pitcher of water. Thank you. Hu haya nosun besakonis tefashis. The person's life was in danger. He's going to starve to death. Soma yad mavas mavas. His mom is thirsting away till death. Fala nosun l'shus. He gave him the drink. He gave him life. So now, hamakabu lo chash. Shasiba shanose nosun lo hiki hu ma'od ove. So the receiver, he's not thinking, why did the guy give me the glass of water? Oh, it must be because he loves me. He's not thinking that, he's a stranger. Elamachlas regesh tivi poshut shekayim eitzel kol ben anosh. But naturally, everybody has this feeling. When you see a guy dying, you know, I think anybody in this room, you'd be walking out on the street on a hot summer day and the guy said, I'm dying, can you give me some water? Right? You don't even know the guy. I think anybody in this room is going, you don't love the guy, but you're going to give him a glass of water. Come on. You're going to watch a guy die? Right? Because you roll out him, shachalila, holech, lemus, you see a guy's dying, you start a lot to see what he's going to try. You're going to try to give him some water. Does it mean you love him? Does it mean you love him? He's going to do it. You know, it's a menschlich thing to do. How can I not give him? Am I a cruel, wicked person? I'm from Stoim. I'm not going to give him. I'll give him. It's the menschlich thing to do. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, yeah, you're welcome. But I don't love you. Right? Right? Ainzo somer, that doesn't mean to say, shalacha shekiv menesamayim, that after the guy gets the water, lo yargish hamakabal avamis simis klapinosam. So now, let's think about this. The guy who got the water, he's thinking deeply here, says, you know, the guy who gave me that water, who just saved my life, did he do it because he loves me? Well, I guess if he didn't really love me, so I don't love him. No, it doesn't matter. You saved the guy's life, the guy will love you because you saved his life. It's because what the gift was will cause him to love you, even though you couldn't care less about the guy. He looks, you saved my life. So my life is important. I love my life. You kept my life going. So what you did for me, I love what you did for me, but not what you are behind the giving. You hear? So ain't so merit. It doesn't mean to say that after he gets it, he's not going to feel a certain amount of love, even though he doesn't feel that you're loving him, but he's still going to love you to a certain degree. Messina ko gedola, such a big gift. Umashmuisis, you know, has such impact. Vadi moreres, that's of his culture. It's going to awaken some kind of love. You'll always remember the guy. He saved my life. I have gratitude for him. You invite him to your daughter's chasana, right? But the love is coming because of how big the action was. That's one kind of love. It was a big thing he did for me. And I want that big thing and I love that big thing. And you gave me that big thing, so I'll love you because of the big thing. It's not coming from a feeling of, oh, how much the guy must have loved me and that's why he did it. Right? So that's level one. Nimtzin came, comes out.
So in that case, you're not feeling
no, I feel, you feel love too. You feel love. Oh, I love you. Thank you. You'll hug and kiss the guy. You'll hug and kiss the guy. You saved my life. And you're gonna, it's, you know, you might have different words here, but it manifests, the physical manifests is you're very.
I love me who's happy who's alive and I feel gratitude. Good. So,
okay, and gratitude brings out love. Right? No, but he says there'll be an ava no lettuce. No, but that's nesuyemes is the first part. But because how big the gift is, that's what he's going to love him for. We direct the love out of the results in the first stage. The results were big. I love you. Even when your kids say they love you, you got to be careful. You know why they really love you, and you know that's going to go through stages. When they're very young, they love you. It's only because you give them. Only because you give them, and it better be good things you give them. You know, they're not ready to understand that, you know, that you, they recognize that you love them. And therefore, they love you because they know you love them. That's not happening when they're 3 years old. That's something that has to happen later. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen a lot of times. It stops only at that first level. And you wonder why they don't treat you with all that appreciation when you're older. Because they don't know how much you love them. Now, first of all, you have to know if you do love your kids or not, which is another discussion. Many parents don't love their kids. Most parents love themselves. And the kids is just a way for the parents to love themselves. Right? Because they brought them in the world for their own ulterior motives. They didn't bring it in because they really love their kids. So that can get really complicated. You know, but we're not going to go there today. We're not going to go there today. But the person, you saved my life, I will love you. I will love you, you saved my life, and if the guy keeps saving his life, he'll continue to love him. Right? Yeah. Don't get caught up so much in the semantics and the...
Isn't it fundamentally backwards? Like in Mitzvah Eliyahu, the text says exactly the opposite. He says you're going to love to the one you give.
That is already, I understand, that's different kind of love. That's developing the love that's not dependent. We're not on that level. We're not talking about that.
But where we're going to head here, most people will actually resent people that keep giving.
I don't think my kids resent me keep giving them.
There's a lot of spoiled kids that resent their parents for giving them.
Okay. Because they're not giving them other things. Again, it can't. This is the first step. If you're not going, you know, Michael, if you're not going to give your kids anything, they'll never love you. Okay. We'll see. But this is the first level. This is a level that's there. If you, you know, you want people to love you, you better get. Chazal say, you know, you have to buy a friend. You have to koina chaver, right? People do like people who give them things. You don't have to give them their life. They don't have to feel that you owe their life to them. But you give gifts. People like to get gifts, you know, and they like people who give them gifts. On this level, it's a true level. Hold on to Michta Melio. That's already much further. Yeah?
I mean, couldn't we say that for love, it has to be not just the physical gift you give, but how you or why you're giving it? You're giving it with love.
Well, that's the second level where the person perceives the love, right?
I think that's why we're having trouble with the bottle of water. It's not given with love; it's just given as an assessment.
But you love the guy. The guy saved my life. I love myself. He kept me alive. So I'll forever be grateful. I love you that you saved my love.
I think we agree with grateful and appreciative, which is the love type.
Okay, you know, it's a fine line. It's a fine line.
You're
you know, you have the idea, you know, the damsel in distress, the guy saves her, she's going to give him a big hug and a kiss. She's going to give him a big hug and a kiss. She was about to get killed.
That's why
right?
The patient with the nurse.
You
know, that looks after him.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they love, they adore them.
It's a job, and they'll speak about them.
That's right. Good example. He saved my life. He did this, all these things, right? Okay. We're in the middle. We'll continue this idea tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.